Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. A University of Delaware professor is part of a team that's come up with a test for artificial intelligence programs. Humanity's Last Exam tests how fast AI capabilities are advancing. The exam was created by experts from around the world to figure out if AI programs can figure out solutions independently. Delaware Public Media's Joey Rosari recently spoke with Humanity's Last Exam contributor Manuel Schottdorf, a neuroscientist in the University of Delaware's Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences, about this AI test.
You have come up with essentially a test for AI, Humanity's Last Exam. What is it exactly?
First, it's a collaborative project from many, many people who contributed to this effort, trying to come up with a really challenging test to see how good AI systems actually are in reasoning and critical thinking and come up with a solution to challenging tasks. I really played a really small role in this. It was a crowdsourced catalog, in the end, 2,500 questions that cover essentially all domains of science, philosophy, humanities, art history, music. And this body of questions is constructed so that it would be difficult to find the answer to these questions. We keep the answers secret. Just ask the AIs the questions and see how good they really are in figuring out the answers. It's called Humanity's Last Exam because it alludes to this being the current frontier of human knowledge, understanding, the horizon of what is known to us as a species.
When this came about, Humanity's Last Exam, was this something that was brought to you? You were just thinking, you know, let's test AI. I mean, how did that come about?
I actually came to this kind of effort through an ad that I saw online where people were looking for these questions. So this is not an effort that started UD. It was organized by the Center for AI Safety. And they just reached out to the community. Like, do you have a background in math, in physics, in anything that's kind of considered challenging? And do you have a few good ideas for hard puzzles or hard questions? And then the way it worked is, there's a system. We just write down questions that we think are good. And then they were evaluated by our peers. So other folks, you know, like myself, looked at other people's questions and we thought about, can we answer these? Is the solution correct? Is there any chance you could cheat at this test? And then the questions were ranked. They were evaluated. And then the top ranking questions made it into the final version of the exam. Yeah, that context, like, what do I know about art history, right? Like, I wouldn't be qualified to ask a good question, nor would I be qualified to judge whether one is actually solvable. But my own background is in physics. My degree is in physics. I used to do a lot of theoretical physics work. So I'm much better in mathematics and geometry and topology, problems of that nature. So I'm much more qualified in coming up with good questions in these domains and assessing whether they can be solved or not.
What did you find out from Humanity's Last Exam? Like, what was AI able to correctly answer? What did it struggle with, if you can share with us?
So initially, most of the big large language models, Gemini and Claude and ChatGPT, did not perform particularly well on these challenging questions. But they have made enormous progress over the last few years and now regularly score, 30, 40, 50% correct on these challenging questions. Now, that comes with an asterisk, and that is that now that this set of questions is publicly available, the answers are publicly available too. So there is a contamination problem that if these machines have gobbled up the answers too, then it doesn't really test their reasoning skills anymore. So it is a moving goalpost situation. The challenge is to continue to collect good questions to be sure that we actually test reasoning abilities and not just their abilities to recall information that they have seen somewhere else. So whenever we chat about these kind of things with people, we try to not make the answers to the questions easily available. But there's so many and you can't be certain. And so part of this massive improvement over the last year and a half could be associated with leakage of this testing data out into the domain of material that is available to these machines when they learn.
So essentially, it's kind of like maybe what a professor might have to go through when they do their studies, right? It's just because if you have the same exam, yep, at some point, it's going to go around, and then 2 or 3 years later, everybody's going to ace it. Yes. So you're it's the same thing here.
Yes, you're a student once. It's exactly that system. Like, you can only use a question once. And once the solution is out there, the students will know, they will practice it really well, and then it doesn't really test their abilities and skills anymore. And it's the same situation here. It's just that the questions have a slightly different quality to them. But the underlying philosophy, the problem is exactly the same.
Now, with a lot of the exam, the AI, the humanities last exam, is this something that, say, a regular person will be able to do it? Or is it just one of those things where, like you were saying, it's particular studies, like if somebody can do the math and science part, if that's their expertise. So is that basically how we can look at it here from just a regular person's point of view?
I don't think there's a single human being who could solve all of these questions at the moment. They're all over the place, right? As I said, from art history to mathematics. That's a very broad range, and very few people are trained in depth in all of these different domains. That said, in a particular field, say physics or mathematics, I think anybody who went to school and studied this for a couple of years could probably solve these problems. They're usually on the level of a graduate student. So they are a bit more challenging, but an advanced undergraduate student or graduate student should be able to solve these questions. It might take them a little while, but they should be able to reason their way to an answer. So they're not outrageously difficult. It's not like, the top 1% of all faculty on this planet can solve this. They're challenging, but not outrageously so. The challenge is all these questions touching on so many different domains of knowledge. That is what... That's where the name comes in. Humanities last exam. It's not the mathematician's last exam.
Did when you tested different AI programs, was anyone particularly better at it, or is it just like with people, the certain ones are better than at certain things?
It's difficult to see patterns, and they also change so rapidly. As I'm sure you have noticed too, when you use these systems, they continue to learn, they continue to evolve. It's a system that changes its rules so quickly that it's very difficult to make hard statements. It's certainly true that overall they have made enormous improvements, and it's generally impressive where they have arrived at the moment.
Let's say a program does well on the exam, nails it, and what should we take from that? As people?
It's a good question. I think the only thing that actually demonstrates it's good in solving hard questions. What all of these models don't have is the same sense of physicality that we do. For example, when we use natural language, for us, it's just a vehicle to communicate thought. And when I talk about the World Cup happening here pretty soon, the World Cup isn't just a word. Like, you associate a specific event with it, specific teams, events that will unfold. The word World Cup is just a sound. But it is anchored in the reality of our existence, our social structures, the stuff that we do with one another. And whether you say World Cup or use the same word in any other language, it's anchored to the reality of that event. When large language models learn structure about the world, they don't anchor it in real physical experiences. It's just statistical relationships between words. They might notice that the word World Cup occurs in certain contexts, for example, the names of players that are involved or the names of certain teams or certain countries. But nothing of this has the tangibility that it would have to a human mind. And when we learn about the world, we learn about it very, very differently. When we are kids or students, we don't gobble up millions of hours of videos and millions of books to understand how language works. We experience the world in a very real sense, and then we use language to communicate our understanding of the world after the fact. And that is something that is just quite different between modern AI and how we learn. And that is something that humanities last exam and many of these tests just can't test effectively, because these machines are language-based. So we can only use language as a proxy. They will answer, and they are good in certain knowledge organizing tasks, but I don't think there is any actual understanding of what a World Cup is in these computational processes.
With AI, there's always a debate. People think it's good. People don't think it's good. There's arguments on both sides, and good arguments from both sides. From this exam and what we know, can it be trusted, AI, and how should we as people approach using it?
Well, that's at least an easy question, right? You shouldn't trust it blindly. But it certainly is a useful tool. And like most questions in the real world, there are always shades of gray. It isn't universally bad. It isn't universally good, but it is certainly very useful. It makes some of our lives easier. It makes certain jobs easier, but it should be used with caution. It's just another tool in the toolbox, as the pocket calculator used to be. You know, it makes our lives a little bit easier as long as we use it with care. Like here at university, we use it too. It's a good teaching aid sometimes to make sure that our exams are solvable. We teach our students that they can, you know, use it for practicing, you know, ask the AI questions, see what they think about it. It can also be dangerous. You don't want to outsource all of your homework assignments to AI or you won't learn anything. So somewhere in this middle ground, there's real world use for them. And I think they will improve the human condition by and large, just like the pocket calculators.
So essentially the best way to look at it for it to be helpful is as a tool, not a crutch.
That's right.
Anything else you want to add about the humanities last exam, specifically here with the AI?
The one thing I really want to stress is that this isn't my work alone. I'm just one of a very large group of people who have contributed to this effort. This is part of the fun. We're all part of a collaborative enterprise out of hundreds of scientists who have contributed to this effort. Some of them were students too, some of them postdocs, some of them faculty, and all of them have contributed their unique expertise to the frontier of human knowledge. And the data set is publicly available. If some of the listeners want to just, you know, check it out, you can just register and look at the question. And it's a heartwarming experience. It's very rare that you would see so much expertise at the same spot. Like the scope of human knowledge that is currently available is heartwarming. It's cool to see that how many people have spent hours of their lives thinking about something deeply and profoundly and caring about it in depth and then bringing that to paper. It's something that impresses me and brings a warm feeling to my heart.
And in the end, this will be an ongoing process as more AI programs right. become available and more questions. You have to come up with more questions to test them.
Folks can contribute to this. Some of the folks who listen to your radio show too, you can register, submit new questions, and they will be ranked by others. And maybe they make the cut for the next round or the next release of Humanities Last Exam and the subsequent versions thereof.
And where can they submit those questions?
Yep, they can.
Where?
There's just a web form. You can Google it. You register. You can do that with your Gmail account. And you submit questions. You need the question, the answer, and then first check is, can the AIs answer it? If they already can, then it's not a good question. So first selection is, can they answer it? If they can't, then the question is made level 2, and then it's going to be evaluated by humans, other people of the evaluation committee, other folks have submitted questions, and they will rank the question on whether it's suitable to be used in this, you know, available body of future questions.
Thanks to University of Delaware neuroscientist Manuel Schottdorf and our Joey Rosari for joining us on The Green this week. And we wrap up The Green next with Arts Playlist and a visit to the Biggs Museum in Dover to learn more about their latest exhibition. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.